Thank you very much. God bless the great state of Iowa. How many of y'all watched the debate in Cleveland? What an amazing array of talent was on that stage. How fantastic is it that we have so many young, passionate, dynamic leaders stepping up to lead this party and to lead the United States of America. And what a contrast with the Democrats. You know, I'm pretty sure the first Democratic debate is going to consist of Hillary Clinton and the Chipotle clerk. Well, no, actually, that's not fair. We can't forget about Bernie Sanders. So now the Democratic field consists of a wild-eyed socialist with ideas that are dangerous for America and the world, and Bernie Sanders. And you know, it really is striking that the Democrats keep delaying their debates. First it was September, then it was October, then it was November. I think they may just move it to 2017. You know, it's not widely known, but the Democrats had actually planned to have an earlier debate. The problem was the debate invitation was emailed to Hillary. We are here today because our country's in crisis. We're here today because we're bankrupting our kids and grandkids. Because our constitutional rights are under assault from Washington. And because America is receding from leadership in the world. And yet I'm here to bring you a word of hope and encouragement and optimism. All across Iowa, all across this country, Americans are waking up. And help is on the way. So I want to ask everyone here to look forward. Look forward to January 2017. If I am elected president, let me tell you what I intend to do on the first day in office. The first thing I intend to do in office is rescind every single illegal and unconstitutional executive action taken by this president. The president says he has a phone and he has a pen. Well, you live by the pen, you die by the pen. And my pen has got an eraser. But sadly, the corruption has not been limited to the White House. It is extended through every branch of the federal government. This Department of Justice is the most partisan and lawless Department of Justice we have ever seen. The second thing I intend to do on the first day in office is instruct the Department of Justice to open an investigation into Planned Parenthood and these horrible videos. And to prosecute any and all criminal violations by that organization. The administration of justice should be blind to party or ideology. The only fidelity of the Department of Justice should be to the laws and the Constitution of the United States of America. The third thing I intend to do on the first day in office is instruct the Department of Justice and the IRS and every other federal agency that the persecution of religious liberty ends today. That means for our servicemen and women that every one of them can pray and worship God Almighty with all of their hearts, minds, and souls. The commanding officer has nothing to say about it. And that means in January 2017, the federal government stops litigating against and persecuting the Little Sisters of the Poor for standing for their faith. Tonight, we've got several thousand Iowans coming to the Iowa Event Center for a rally for religious liberty, featuring heroes from across the country, people like Iowa's own Dick and Betty Odegaard, who have stood for their faith and been persecuted. And we are going to celebrate heroes who have had the courage of their convictions and let them tell their stories. We've also got a concert by the Newsboys, so I would encourage everyone, come to the event tonight, 6:30 at the Iowa Event Center. The fourth thing that I intend to do on the first day in office is rip to shreds this catastrophic Iranian nuclear deal. The single greatest national security threat facing America today is the threat of a nuclear Iran. You know, several weeks ago I observed that if this deal goes through, the Obama administration would become, quite literally, the world's leading financier of radical Islamic terrorism. Now, in response to that, President Obama got very upset. He interrupted his busy world travels in between the eighth and ninth hole to attack me, to come after me. He said, "That's ridiculous. That rhetoric is too much. Do not say that." But, you know, it's interesting, in the entire course of his attack, the president didn't actually bother to refute any of the substance of what I said. Let me give you a very simple point. Truth is not rhetoric. So let's review the facts. Fact number one. Iran is today the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. Fact number two, if this deal goes through, over $100 billion will flow directly to Iran. Fact number three, if that happens, billions of those dollars will go directly to Hamas, to Hezbollah, to the Houthis, to radical Islamic terrorists throughout the world, and those jihadists will use those billions that we control to murder Americans, to murder Israelis, to murder Europeans. If President Obama doesn't like the rhetoric of his administration becoming the world's leading financier of radical Islamic terrorism, there is an easy solution. Stop financing radical Islamic terrorism. The fifth thing I intend to do on the first day in office is begin the process of moving the American embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, the once and eternal capital of Israel. You know, a lot of presidential candidates, both Democrat and Republican, have made that promise. And yet, inevitably, when they get to the White House, their team comes to them and they say, "Well, gosh, if you do that, other folks in the Middle East are going to be really unhappy with you." If you hadn't noticed, they're already pretty unhappy with us. I'll tell you the single biggest difference between me and the other fine gentlemen standing on that debate stage in Cleveland. With me, when I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do exactly what I said I would do. That's day one. There are 365 days in a year, 4 years in a presidential term, and 4 years in a second term. By the end of 8 years, there are going to be an awful lot of newspaper editors and reporters and journalists who've checked themselves into therapy. In the days that follow, I will go to Congress, and we will repeal every word of Obamacare. In the days that follow, I will instruct the Federal Department of Education, which should be abolished. I will instruct the Department of Education that Common Core ends today. In the days that follow, we will rebuild our military and we will honor the commitments we've made to our soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines. And we will allow our servicemen and women to exercise their right to keep and bear arms. That means the next time a jihadist shows up at a recruiting center in Chattanooga, he's going to discover the business end of firearms wielded by a dozen Marines. In the days that follow, we are finally going to secure the border and end sanctuary cities. We are going to stop the Obama administration's indefensible policy of releasing violent criminal illegal aliens, and we're going to pass Kate's Law. In the days that follow, we are going to take on the out-of-control regulators, the fourth branch of government, the EPA, the NLRB, the Department of Labor, OSHA, the alphabet soup that descend like locusts on farms and ranches and small businesses, and we are going to bring back booming economic growth. And in the days that follow, I will go to Congress, and we will pass fundamental tax reform, adopting a simple flat tax. So that every American can fill out his or her taxes on a postcard. And when we do that, we should abolish the IRS. There are about 90,000 employees at the IRS. We need to padlock that building. Take all 90,000 and put them down on our southern border. Now, to our friends in the media, I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek. But if you think about it, sir, imagine you traveled thousands of miles in the blazing sun. You're swimming across the Rio Grande, and the first thing you see is 90,000 IRS agents. You'd turn around and go home, too. Now, some of y'all may be thinking, all of that makes sense to me. It's simple common sense. Live within your means. Don't bankrupt your kids and grandkids. Follow the Constitution. But can it happen? Can we do it? You know, Scripture tells us there's nothing new under the sun. I think where we are today is very, very much like the late 1970s. I think the parallels between this administration and the Carter administration are uncanny. Same failed domestic policy, same misery, stagnation, and malaise. Same feckless and naive foreign policy. In fact, the exact same countries, Russia and Iran, openly laughing at and mocking the President of the United States. Now, why is it that that analogy gives me so much hope and encouragement? Because we know how that story ended. All across this country, millions of men and women rose up and became the Reagan Revolution. And it didn't come from Washington. Washington despised Ronald Reagan. If you see a candidate who Washington embraces, run and hide. It came from the American people, and it turned this country around. We went from stagnation to booming economic growth. We went from our hostages in Iran to winning the Cold War and tearing the Berlin Wall to the ground. Why am I so optimistic? Because the same thing is happening today. Millions of Americans are waking up. They're saying, this doesn't make any sense. You know, we just finished a bus tour through seven states in 7 days. Every stop, men and women came up to me. One woman in Charleston, South Carolina, she said, you know, I voted for Barack Obama in 2008. I stayed home in 2012. And this year, I'm voting for you. Another man in Tulsa, Oklahoma, working man with calluses on his hands, with grease and sweat on his shirt. He walked up to me and he said, Ted, I've been a registered Democrat my entire life. He said, this morning I went down to the county clerk and I registered as a Republican to vote for you. That is happening all over this country. How do we win this race? We win this race running a populist campaign of hardworking men and women against the bipartisan corruption of Washington, D.C. that Hillary Clinton embodies. You know, for all of us, freedom isn't some abstract concept. It's personal. It's real. It's our families. I think about my dad, Pastor Rafael Cruz. He spent a lot of time here in Iowa. He's going to continue to spend a lot of time here in Iowa. You know, my dad grew up in Cuba. He was in prison. He was tortured as a teenager. And he fled to America with nothing. In 1957, $100 in his underwear, he couldn't speak English. Cents an hour. That would be the Obama Justice Department cutting off my microphone. Apparently, they really, really, really don't want you to know that my dad washed dishes making 50 cents an hour. And he worked full time. He paid his way through school. He went on with my mom to start a small business. Today, my dad is a pastor. He travels the country preaching the gospel. When I was a kid, my father used to say to me over and over again, when we faced oppression in Cuba, I had a place to flee to. If we lose our freedom here, where do we go? That is why we are here today. We are here today because the men and women at this state fair, the men and women of Iowa, the men and women of America, we are not prepared to go quietly into the night. We are not prepared to give up on our children and grandchildren. We will stand and fight for freedom. We will stand and fight for the Constitution. What we're doing now isn't working. And I got to tell you, I can't wait to stand on that debate stage with Hillary Clinton. Because together, we the people are coming together, and together I am convinced, I am certain, we are going to restore that shining city on a hill that is the United States of America. Thank you, and God bless you.